Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. Made Up Savannah is a creative production of Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, serving Savannah since 1978. And the Made Up Savannah podcast is brought to you by Savoy Society, colleagues and lovers, and the Savannah Cabaret. This season, we're proud to sponsor with the Savannah Cabaret. And guess what? There's a new show coming. In June, time-traveling drag queens Emma, Coco, and Christy are back in time. When three drag queens find a time-traveling device, they get sent on an era-spinning journey that has taken them through the decades. So in the 1940s, they helped a USO troupe put on a show. In the 1980s, they helped a group of high school kids put on a prom. This time, they land in the 1960s. How fun. And they have to help solve a murder while posing as stewardesses. So the queens are thrown into a wild world of pillbox hats, go-go boots, and flower power, of course, as the clock is counting down fast. The big question is, can they find the killer before they take flight? Tickets are on sale right now. SavannahCabaret.com is the website to grab your tickets. SavannahCabaret.com. You're going to be in the heart of historic Savannah. Savannah Cabaret is at 1 Jefferson Street in historic Savannah, and you need to grab your tickets at SavannahCabaret.com. Other shows coming up this year, Max Hammer PI, The Case of the Cabaret Killer in August, and in December, hold on to your Christmas bells, Christmas in Mistletoe Falls 2. They thought they had fixed Mistletoe Falls. They were wrong. SavannahCabaret.com for all the details. Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. This is a certified gold stamped true Made Up Savannah episode, and you're about to find out why. My guest today, born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, and is a successful real estate investor, business owner, and is quickly on his way to being named the individual on the most boards in town. I think there's an award for that, so I think he might get it. And to top it off, he's an all-around really, really great guy. Lenoris Williams III, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's always good to see you, Dee.
It's always good to see you. So you're the third edition. Tell me about the original.
The original. Whew, he is an interesting character, to say the least. You, by knowing me, you know where I get it from.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine.
But he's from Savannah. My dad, we all still live here. You know, it's good to have family that's still here and not having to travel to see anybody.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So that would have been your grandfather. That is your grandfather.
Correct.
And so your grandfather grew up here.
Correct.
Your dad grew up here. You grew up here.
Yep.
And everybody's still around.
Yes, they are.
Wow. You don't get that very often.
I know. Every time I meet somebody and I tell them, you know, I'm from Savannah, and they're like, well, that's very rare. It's very, very rare to meet somebody that's from here and still here. So,
you know, I always like to say when we have people that come on the podcast and we talk about them being from Savannah, it's like seeing, you know, one of those animals in the wild. Right. It's like, ooh, we spotted one that's from Savannah. Because you don't get that here very often.
Yeah, I know. It's really crazy.
It is. Tell me about growing up here. What was that like for you, and how different is it today?
Well, being from here, and like I said, several generations of people from here, I know so many people. And that's a good and a bad thing. You know, you always have to kind of be on your P's and Q's, because you know, you never know what people might have to say about right. you. But, you can't really do anything wrong in this town without it getting around. So
small, big town.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's still pretty much, you know, the same, except for, you know, I know people that I grew up with that are still here. A lot of people moved away, but I think you'll see that as people get older and they realize when they moved to Atlanta or bigger cities and they think that, you know, that's where it's all at. And then, you know, when they get to a certain point, they're like, well, I want to come back home. You know, everything's not like home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say the same thing. When I went off to college, I came back home and said, hey, this is where I was going to start my roots at.
I would imagine it wasn't, you didn't have the amount of tourists that you have.
That is correct. You know, Savannah's always been a tourist spot, but with all this development stuff that's been going on in the last, you know, 5-10 years, it's definitely a lot more people walking around the streets than what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. And you're always giving someone directions. And
that's right.
Telling them a good restaurant to go to.
Yeah.
So are you, you were talking about going off to college. College for you was Livingstone College in North Carolina?
That's correct.
Tell me about Livingstone. What was that like?
Livingstone is a small HBCU. I didn't know much about it at the time. When I was at Savannah Christian, that's where I went for mm-hmm. from kindergarten all the way through graduation. When I was playing golf there, I had a coach from Livingstone. He was the athletic director at the time, and he reached out to me about offering me a scholarship. He said that, you know, they used to win championships back in the day, and he was rebuilding his golf team, and he had some guys that were coming in from all over the United States, and that, you know, if I would come out and take a look at the school and see if I wanted to be on board. So I went up there, took a look at it, and, you know, it was definitely different than Savannah, but, you know, I'm glad I took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah. Golf seems to be your game. Is that still a love of yours?
It still is. You know, it's a love-hate thing, but as of right now, I'm loving golf. I'm playing a little bit more than I have been in the last few years.
Where's your favorite spot to play?
So, Savannah Harbor, the club at Savannah Harbor at the Westin. Yeah. So I'm a member out there now, and hop around to the Savannah Golf Club and Savannah Quarters and, you know, wherever I can get an invite to go out and play.
Right. You know, I think it's true, and if anybody can tell me, I think it's you, that this is true. Business is definitely done on the golf course in the South.
That is correct. There's really two places that you meet, you know, different business individuals, and that's either going to be on the golf course or at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, a lot of business is done on the golf course. I've done a lot of business myself on the golf course.
Yeah. I was thumbing through your Instagram, and I saw you. I can't remember where you were playing, but it was like just another business day on the golf course.
That was actually this morning.
I was just
out getting a little bit of practice in. No business today out on the golf course.
Okay.
I was just getting a little bit of practice in. I am playing tomorrow with some business folks. I had to make sure my game is a little bit sharp, but then, you know, I can't go out there and play bad.
Does everyone in the business scenario know it's business on the golf course? I mean, does everybody know ahead of time? I mean, they know now, but does everybody know ahead of time? Like, okay, we're doing business while we're out here.
Well, it depends. You know, like I have certain investors who I play with, and we're friends outside of, you know, business. So we do talk about business a little bit, but mm-hmm. mostly about, you know, life and everything else. But eventually, you know, we do have to add a little bit of business in there. But no, I don't just go off the preface of that. You know,
right.
We're just out here for business. So
see, that's what makes you a good businessman, is that it's an organic situation that just might come up and we might work it in. You know, you're going to work it in, but
right.
It's about when you're going to work it in.
That's right.
How you're going to work it in.
And I hope I play well on that hole.
Yes.
Before I start to move into business.
Yes, because otherwise it just looks silly.
Right.
So how long were you in North Carolina?
4 years. So I graduated, let me see, I went off 2015 and graduated 2018. I guess the end of 2014, going into 2018.
And you were there for business? Yeah, that was...
No, when I first went, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. You know, golf was the most important thing at the time.
Ah, okay.
And then, you know, when I was going through, you know, business school, I was trying to figure out, you know, exactly what I wanted to do. And one of my professors from college, he piqued my interest in real estate. And, you know, at the time I was trying to figure out how do I get into real estate as a broke college student. So started doing research and finding out how to do that. And yeah, that's where my peak came from with that.
I think a lot of people have that desire and they don't know what to do, who to talk to, what avenue to take. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it seems like so many of the successful people that have gotten into real estate have known somebody. You know, I mean, it's kind of still a know somebody
right.
landscape that's going to point you in a direction that says, here, let me give you some advice, you know, as to what I did or what, you know, how it worked for me.
Right.
Is that kind of what happened with you?
Yeah. you know, like I said, my professor, he's the one who piqued my interest. But at the time, he was a realtor. I wanted to go into the investment side.
Right.
But, you know, I really had to have conversations with people and find people who were doing that side of the business. And but just getting that idea is what kind of really sparked everything for me to go out and do research and find people who were doing that and have conversations and find, and, you know, had some people who did take a chance on me and, you know, took me under their wing and taught me everything that I knew. Even to this day, it's still sometimes I had to pick up the phone and call.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, the landscape of real estate has changed since then. So you've had to kind of grow with that, I would imagine, and learn new things. And
correct. When I got started, so I guess I was, that was my junior going into my senior year of college. So I was about 19 going on 20. I was in North Carolina. I was doing stuff from North Carolina in Savannah. I had an attorney I had not met yet. We would communicate through phone and email. I had investors of who I was selling stuff to, who I had not met. And at that time, you know, the values and values of properties in Savannah were just so low back then. Yeah. I remember there was a rental property that is right off of MLK. And at the time, it had tenants in it. They were paying like $700 a month. And I was trying to sell this property for 25 grand. I got laughed off the phone. They told me, that it just was not simply worth it. But 2 years went by, and I found somebody who did want the property, and they wind up buying it, I think, for 30 at the time. And he, when he remodeled it, I think he sold it for 160 something.
Oh, wow.
So then that really, you know, made that whole area, you know, blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just amazing to see how much the property values had jumped up in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it really is. And it's fun to watch. You know, it's an interesting, this is such an interesting market for real estate. I mean, it's growing constantly. I feel like there's, once it started, it was like, open the floodgates.
Right, right. Yeah. There was a lot less competition back in the day.
Yeah.
Now it seems like everybody's in real estate, either a realtor or they're investing.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Part of I feel like, I mean, you tell me, I feel like part of your business model as a successful business owner and a successful guy in Savannah is to build connections constantly.
Right. That's what it's all about. You know, it really in any business that you're in, it's all about connections. And, you know, like Savannah, it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, it's very important to build solid relationships with people. And, you know, that's why with playing golf, I can build a personal relationship with people that's not always just about business.
Right.
You know, even if we're out and we leave the golf course, we might grab dinner or, you know, grab a few drinks. So I try to keep it. Try to keep some, you know, a personal level to it as well. And I would suggest anybody to not just keep it business all the time.
That's great advice. I mean, because I don't think if you come in with that thought process to Savannah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that is correct.
We learned that very quickly when we moved here, that it was a relationship town. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to build relationships. So if that is something that, you know, you thrive at, relationships, it's going to work for your business too.
That is correct. One of my first investors that took a chance in investing with me, he was somebody I had known since I was probably 13. But, you know, he was a lot older. I think at the time he was in his late 60s, but he's known me through golf. And he always kept up with me when I was in college. And every time I would come in town, I'd play golf with him. And then one day we just were talking about real estate, and I was telling him what I was doing. And he had talked to me about initially some seed money. And at the time, I was still young in college. I didn't know what he was talking about. I just kind of blew that off.
Do I pick then, that up at Home Depot, the seed money? Yeah. Like, where do we get that?
And then one day we were just out in the golf course, and I was talking to him about a deal and giving him the numbers on it. And, you know, he said that he would invest in it 100%. And from there, that's where it all got started. And that's why we're keeping it moving.
Wow. That's a great story. I love that. Is that where your love for the whole relationship foundation, is that where your love for getting on all of these boards that you were on started? I mean, how many boards are you on currently?
I think I'm on, I believe I'm on 5 right now, but okay. I could be 6.
Okay.
Somebody just approached me about something else the other day. But, you know, it really is a good thing to be able to give back, you know, because what's the point in having success and doing all this if you're not going to do any good with it?
Right.
You know, growing up as a young African-American, there's not a lot of people. I am very much aware there's not a lot of people that look like me that's in the, necessarily in the same position. And, you know, just letting kids know that they can do other things other than just, you know, play sports or go down a different avenue of, you know, I started out in real estate. You know, it's not a lot of people, especially not a lot of young people in real estate right now. But, you know, I just want to be able to show people that there is something else that they can do and, you know, be positive in.
Yeah, no doubt. I've really felt very grateful to get to know you and sort of watch you be in the community. Everybody knows you. I love it. And you know everybody. I love that every conversation we have, you know, 2-3 times in the conversation, you say, do you know such and such? And I said, no. And you said, I'm going to introduce you. You are definitely a connection building, you know, kind of person. And I just think it's fantastic. I'll start with this board that you're on, because one of the last places that you and I were at together, the most recent places, was at the Derby party at Old Pink House, all to support Park Place Outreach. What a fantastic organization. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the work that they're doing.
Yes, it is. Well, that was first and foremost a fantastic event. We had a really good turnout. I think we sold over 400 tickets. It's Park Place is a safe shelter outreach for domestic violence kids. That's, you know, runaway kids. It's just warmed my heart when I got the initial invite to go and look at their facility and see what they were all about and what they were doing. And really, it didn't take long for, you know, once they showed me and asked me if I would be a part of this board, to say, you know, absolutely, you know, I would like to give my, you know, help with my resources and people to get more exposure to the organization, because they really are doing some great things for the community. And, you know, I think they've been around going on like 40 years now.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, you know, we need to keep organizations like that to help people out.
Yeah, it's such an awareness issue sometimes, you know, in communities. There are so many great organizations that are right here in Savannah that there's a portion of the community that they don't even know it exists. And I think being able to attach to an event, you know, at the Old Pink House for the Kentucky Derby, I mean, you know, that's visual right there. You know, that brings awareness kind of to the forefront.
Right. And, you know, I know we're planning on having a few other events later on in the year, but those things are important.
Hey, quick side note. I don't know about you and your friend group, but our friends, well, and we are too, are always looking for a great brunch spot. And I've got the perfect thing for you. It's our wonderful partners, colleagues, and lovers in Habersham Village. They are now serving lunch, and yes, my friends, brunch on Saturday and Sunday. But check this out. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 3, you can go to Colleagues and Lovers in Habersham Village and get a fabulous lunch. Yes, you can also get cocktails, because that's how we roll in Savannah. They've got Bloody Mary on the menu, mimosa on the menu, and the other stuff, coffee, tea, iced tea, Coke, you know. But more importantly, the food. Let's talk about the salads. Balsamic beet salad, a chef salad, and fabulous looking sandwiches. 5 spice chicken, roast beef. Ooh, a good chicken salad sandwich. Doesn't that sound nice? And of course, they've got pasta, Colleagues and Lovers. But check this out. Brunch on Saturday and Sunday. You can get pancakes, plain or blueberry, and I love Eggs Benedict. Take your friends, make a date. You're going to love it. Colleagues and Lovers, 4523 Habersham Street, Habersham Village, colleaguesandloverssavannah.com if you want to check out the lunch menu, the dinner menu, the brunch menu, and more importantly, the drink menu. I'm excited to talk about what you are doing over at Savannah Classical Academy.
So I'm on the governing board for Savannah Classical Academy. It's a K-12 charter school. I believe right now we have over 400 students. It's been around since 2013. It's located where the old St. Pius school was, so that got remodeled. And, you know, it's another thing. It's just so amazing that the impact that school has had on the community.
Right.
We recently got ranked as the number 3 charter school in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
Which is an incredible accomplishment. You know, our leader, Barry Lawless, he's the CEO of the school. You know, he's a phenomenal person. And, you know, just the things that he's done and to be on a team with him and, you know, being able to give support, you know, where he needs it to be able to help and keep moving the needle.
Right. Yeah, it really is amazing the things that they're doing. And again, there are some people that I've met that had no idea that existed. And I'm not sure I knew about it from the get-go. I remember somebody telling me about it and I was like, wow, that is such a needed thing in this community. And to have over 400 students, you said, I mean,
correct.
That's a lot. It's a lot of people that are getting touched by that, you know, just fantastic, high caliber education.
Correct.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love it. I want to touch on some of the other places. Your Neighborhood Improvement Association.
Yeah. So Neighborhood Improvement Association, also known as NIA, it's an organization that was founded by our former mayor, Otis Johnson. We provide the home builder, the first time home buyers program, in order for them to be able to get the course to be a part of the Dreammaker program. And we also build houses for first-time home buyers. And, you know, it's just amazing the things that we do. We also do the voluntary income tax divider program where people in the community come out and get their taxes done. And I know right in the middle of tax season every year, it's always crazy around there.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's another thing that it's another organization that we need, you know, more support in and getting more awareness in the things that's going on, because just with all of the things that's going on right now, you know, we need an organization like that to help people, especially with all of this stuff coming in with new developments and people, you know, not being able to afford to live anywhere and buy houses, you know, and, they, you know, people having to move further out of Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great organization to try to keep home ownership here and promote that and, you know, help people in the community.
Yeah. I mean, you think about some families that have lived here for a long time and, you know, to have to move out when they would like to continue to be here, or, you know, for their kids not to be able to own a house here. I mean, a lot of people are facing that kind of conversation.
Right, right. Yeah, you see that everywhere. And, you know, it's a complicated thing that we're having to deal with. And,
yeah.
And I know that there have been some coalitions that have been put together to try to figure out a way to solve that problem, you know, but it's going to have to be all hands on deck.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think in the last couple of years, I have heard the phrase, it's going to take a village, more than I've ever heard it in my life. I feel like that's where we have to be now.
Right. It's going to take everybody.
Yeah.
You know, business, politicians, it's going to take everybody in the community to figure something out.
Yeah, it really is. And it's well worth it when you get involved. I think you feel like, you know, you can make a difference. You see it rippling out pretty quickly.
Right.
And it affecting the people that live in your neighborhood or live, you know, street over from you or go to your kids' schools or,
right.
You know, I mean, it's small, big town.
Yeah.
Chatham Education Alliance. Tell me about that.
So that's a group that was put together to bring, you know, advocacy and awareness to the issues that we were dealing with the Chatham County School Board, you know, with all the different things that we could do to make the whole situation better. You know, really, it is just to bring awareness and advocacy and bring all hands on deck of people that's in, you know, different sectors to come together to help people and help, you know, bring awareness to the parents and to other people that are in, you know, our county school system.
Yeah, I think it's pretty brave of you to get on a board that is school related, because sometimes, I mean, we've got some hot button issues with the education just in our entire country. You know, everybody's having a different issue, and that connection between the relationship between parents and teachers and, you know, students and the school leadership is tough. It's a tough conversation to be in right now, but I think, you know, us not having conversations is making things a lot worse.
Yeah, you're correct. You know, we've all have to talk and be on the same page in order for us to continue to move forward as a community. You know, there are a lot of positive things that are going on, but, you know, education is a key part to any developing city. Parents want to send their kids to the best schools, and, you know, we need to do what we need to do to make sure that, you know, we have a top producing county for education here.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a lot of fun to watch kids when they're feeling like they can go anywhere and be anything. And it takes the school to be on board and the parents to be on board. It takes all of us. It takes a village, like I said.
Right.
It really does. All right. Tell me about this. Friends of Ben. Now, this was for Ben Tucker.
Correct.
And you were really close, good friends with Ben Tucker.
I was. He was one of my mentors from when I was growing up in the First Tee, which is a golf organization. He was a board member for them at the time and one of the coaches who would come out. And, you know, he was a Savannah legend,
yes,
to say the least. But, you know, he really instilled in me a lot of things, you know, a lot of knowledge. He really connected me with a lot of people. Even he had me set up going out to the club at Savannah Harbor, where I'm a member at now. And he brought me out there from a young age and got me introduced with everybody out there and allowed me to be able to practice and work on my game. And, you know, it was just a sad and unfortunate, you know, circumstances with his passing back in 2013. And, you know, when that happened, it just really took the air out of me for a while. And you know, just was a very sad situation. But when they came together and said, you know, let's put together an organization to keep his legacy alive, I was 100% on board when they asked, and I was really honored to be asked to be on that board. It's, you know, there are a lot of things that Ben Tucker has done for this community that I think, you know, people should be aware of. So at least, you know, we want to keep his legacy alive.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, and I've learned a little bit about his legacy here, and the bar that he had was called Hard-Hearted Hannah's.
Correct.
Yeah. And where was that? Do you?
Now, that was a little bit before my time.
Right.
So I had not been.
But, yes.
But I knew he also owned a radio station.
That's two radio stations, I thought.
Correct.
Yeah.
And he just was a phenomenal man. And when I was around him, I really didn't know, you know, how big time Ben Tucker was at the time.
Right.
And, you know, as you get old and realize all the things that he had done.
You're like, damn, he was a big deal.
Right. And the songs he had written. And,
yeah.
And, you know, he was just so full of life.
Yeah.
All the way to the end. I mean, he was on the golf course every day, well into his 80s.
Wow.
And every time I talked to him, he was either on his way going to the golf course or just leaving the golf course.
That's amazing.
And still performing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that there are a group of people that want to continue his legacy and, you know, really make an impact with that.
Correct. But that at some point a few years ago, that got turned over to the Coastal Jazz Association to keep that going. You know, just at the time, it just was, we felt that we needed more resources and,
sure.
you know, a bigger name to keep his name going.
Yeah, that's amazing. What board am I missing? There's an upcoming board?
Now that I can't talk about, right?
Okay. Oh, secrets. I love it.
So we have to do another one of these at some point.
We'll have to do a part two. You might actually win an award at some point. I mean...
That's yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's got the rookie.
I don't either. I don't know who's got. I don't know who's got the sash or the trophy, but somebody's got it somewhere. That's not a lot. That's a lot. You couldn't possibly have a free night. I mean, you made a free night for us, so that was very sweet of you.
It is always something going on, and you know, and then you know, still having a social life, and still trying to get out and play golf, and you know. Working and maneuvering my schedule around, but somehow I make it work.
Yes, you do. You do make it work. Tell me who has been the most influential person in your journey so far.
Well, there are several people that are influential, but my parents, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be where I am and who I am today, without my parents. You know, they really sacrificed a lot to put me through private school and to get me in golf and to, you know, it, especially at that time, you know, I know that there were, you know, certain struggles that they were going through at the time. But, you know, they did and they sacrificed to get me here. And, you know, I like I said, I wouldn't be anywhere I am without them.
Yeah. Who else besides the parents?
Well, it would be definitely Ben Tucker.
Hmm.
You know, he was somebody that I took, spent a lot of time with from a young age. It would also be Mike Kaslick, which is one of my investors, but he was a friend of who I've known since I was 13.
Wow.
We still play golf. We still do business. We still play golf. He lives in Michigan part of the year, and then he comes down here. So every time he comes down, we spend a lot of time together.
Have you ever lived anywhere else besides North Carolina during college?
Nope.
Really?
Yep. And, you know, I don't think I'm going anywhere, at least not for a while.
You're not itching to...
Nah, it's too much stuff going on around here right now.
It's true. It's always something to get into, isn't there?
Yeah.
Always something to get into. We hear a lot of stories about people that are maybe grew up in Savannah and we're like, I got to get out of here for a while. Left, went to New York, went to California, went somewhere and were there for years and then said, I really miss it here.
Right. And I think a lot of people are so surprised when they come back if they've been gone, you know, for 5-6 years and mm-hmm. they come back and they see so much development that's going on. And, you know, especially like I-16 and 95,
yeah.
you know, I'm sure people who hadn't been here a long time come like, what in the world is that?
Right.
Yeah. And, but Savannah has a lot more to offer, than it had, you know, for people who moved out and thought Savannah was too slow. But, sometimes that's what you need. You need it, you know, when you go anywhere else, everything's always, you know, so fast paced and, you know, everybody's in a rush. Everybody's trying to get this done, get that done. But Savannah, you know, everybody's on their own pace around. And that could be a good thing. It also be a bad thing. It depends on which side you on.
That's right.
But, you know, I think there's an appreciation in that everybody's pretty much chill and laid back around. Yeah.
It is definitely still a thing that it is, even though it's growth constantly, it's still that. Slow Vanna pace is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real way of life. It's a real way of business. And, you know, as weird as that is sometimes to come into, I mean, we were a little shell shocked when we came into it and we were like, whoa, this is a different workday schedule. This is a different weekend schedule, summer schedule. But I mean, people enjoy the environment and they, you know, when you live near the water and you live on the coast, I feel like it's that it just invites a whole different kind of lifestyle.
Right. You know, it's just so much. Savannah can be as fast as you want it to be. It could be as slow as you want it to be. You know, it's a very unique place where you have, you know, a vibrant downtown and nightlife scene. But you can also, you know, you go out a little bit further out. Well, not so much farmland anymore with all this development going, but it used to be. But, you know, being on the coast and, you know, all the different back rivers. And if, you know, if you have a boat, access to a boat, you know, it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. You got the beach, you know, you're only a few hours from Florida. You're right, you know, a rock's throw from, you know, Hilton Head and, you know, South Carolina, going up to Charlotte, you know, is only 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Atlanta's only 3.5 hours. So, you know, we sit in a spot that's pretty close to being able to get anywhere you want to get to, you know, all the major cities that's around. But being in this spot is, in my personal opinion, it's the perfect place to be.
Yeah. I would agree with you. And I think it's pretty cool coming from somebody who was born here that thinks that. So it is a pretty cool place to be. Do you have a favorite like hot spot right now as far as like restaurants go for you or?
Well, yeah, several places.
Because there's so many new ones, you know, coming up over the last couple of years.
Right. And I would say, you know, Arco Peacock Lounge. You know, Belford's, Sorry Charlie's.
I still haven't been to Belford's.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to check it out.
It's on our to-do list.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite restaurants.
What do you get when you go there? So I know.
Shrimp and grits.
Really?
Yep.
Is that your favorite shrimp and grits in town?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Good to know.
Anytime I have a restaurant, I have met one thing that I always get. So then that's just so happened it is Vita shrimp and grits from there.
Right. I love talking to especially, you know, real estate folks about like their favorite up and coming neighborhoods right now, because there are so many little pockets that are just booming, exploding. What's a favorite for yours right now?
It's just so many. You know, really, I would say once you cross over East Broad and you cross that railroad track all the way, all that going east is, you know, all on fire right now. And I know that there's some development projects that's going on that are really, you see a lot more neighborhood spots, neighborhood bars, restaurants. So once that happens, you know, it's really going to be the next spot. It's going to be just like Starling.
Yeah.
But any specific neighborhood, like I said, they all kind of clump together over there.
So yeah, once you get past, you're right. Yeah, because it's all happening back there. And I hear the same thing from a lot of, you know, small business owners who are in a spot in downtown right now, or maybe they're in Starland and they've been there for a minute and they're like, you know what? My next spot is going to be out on waters. My next spot is going to be, you know, in this direction. Like, I feel like business is starting to move in that direction too.
Right. And you know, 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, you know, when you say, oh, well, I think this area is going to do this. And you know, people that's from here are saying, well, I don't see it. Well, you know, you have to be able to see in the future and see what's going on, you know, around you to make smart decisions and to take advantage of certain opportunities, which is, yes, is one of the things I've been fortunate to have done. I'm not scared to jump in any neighborhood, any area. You know, it's some neighborhoods, you know, coming together faster than others. But I really do think in the next 5 years, all of Savannah is going to be, you know, renovated. It's going to look, you know, very nice. You know, you got some pockets of some, you know, some areas that still blighted, but, you know, you see a lot of things going on, a lot of development.
Yeah. It's fun to watch.
It is. It is. You know, when you ride around certain streets and, you know, you think about, man, I remember these houses, you know, used to be run down. And now you're like, I know that's not the same house.
But it is.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
With an addition and a new porch. And maybe a pool or something. Where'd you get that pool? No, I hear the same thing. It's fun to watch. It's exciting to see the growth happening. And
yeah, it's going to be amazing to see what it's going to look like in the next few years.
Yeah. You still think it's going to be the coolest place to be?
Time will tell, but but I, in my opinion, I think so, but we'll see.
Well, let me know that next board you get on and we'll edit the show notes.
We'll do.
Lenoris Williams III, You're a pretty good addition. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're a pretty good addition.
Well, thank you. I appreciate, you know, you having me on. I know we've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
Of getting me on, but glad we're able to work it out in both of our schedules.
Yeah, me too. I think that you should write a Savannah book. I feel like you got a whole bunch of great stories you could put in a book.
Yeah, you know, my mom, she tells me all the time, she's like, you know, you could write a book about so many different things,
yeah,
you know, and she's always on me. She's like, so when are you going to get started on this book? And I'm like, well, whenever I have some time.
When you have an extra night.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. This has been very fun to get to know you even better. And Savannah is lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on. And you know, I really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to hopefully doing this again some point in the near future.
Yeah. This season, we're so proud to partner up with a trendsetter and a trend breaker in Savannah's historic district, the incomparable bar and restaurant that hits all the marks and sits right at 102 East Liberty Street. I'm talking about Savoy Society. You know, we fell in love with this downtown hotspot well before we even moved here, and it's captured our hearts even more as locals. Now, it's my favorite spot to grab a lemon drop martini. Mm-hmm. Hands down, best place to get a lemon drop martini. And I even like to try something new on occasion, like a sourdough flatbread, a slider, maybe even a new cocktail if I'm living dangerously. But don't even get me started on Me Gusta Mondays and the hot honey margarita, because once I tried that, Savoy Society, seriously, you had me at vinyl and wicker. The long bar, the cozy sofas, oh, and the pickled deviled eggs, and the mini hot dogs with the tots. It's a whole vibe. If you Google it, you'll see the popular opinion is the bartenders are just lovely. That's an understatement. They're really genuinely amazing. Stop by Savoy and tell them you heard about them on the Made of Savannah podcast. Savoy Society Sav, S-A-V, if you're looking for them on Instagram. Also, SavoySociety.com. Check out the full menu. You know, some people have a dream home. Some people have 10 dreams about buying property in 10 different places. At Cork and Austin Hill Realty, we always want you to live who you are, wherever and whatever that dream looks like. You hear businesses talking sometimes about how long they have served a city, but do you ever stop and wonder if they mean that's how long they've been in business there? Or do they really mean that's how long they've served that community? Cork and Austin Hill Realty truly serves Savannah. Yes, I mean the region, but I really mean the people, the history, the business developers, the nonprofits, all communities, all backgrounds, the buyers, the sellers, the investors, the mom and pop shop owners, the first time home seekers, the young, the matured, and we've been doing it serving you since 1978. Cork and Austin Hill Realty sits beautifully at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets in historic Savannah, home of the Made of Savannah podcast studios, and home to a huge group of people ready to serve you. 251 Bull Street, Savannah. Stop in, ask questions, see local artists at Location Gallery, and check out available listings at CorcoranAHR.com. Thanks for listening to the Made of Savannah podcast. Do us a favor, write us a review, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast and share this podcast with someone you know. Follow us on Instagram at Made of Savannah. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the fabulous Savannah Cabaret. If you or someone you know has a great Savannah story to tell, be sure to get in touch with us. We would love to hear it. The welcome mat is always out.